Hi, and welcome to episode 33 of Fully Boosted, a War Machine Hordes podcast. I'm your host, Grant.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Brad.
You guys did it.
I'm third. I know my spot.
It took nine episodes, but we did it.
I was literally debating fucking it up on purpose.
I know my spot. It's third.
You know your role. You're last.
Yes.
Speaking of being last.
We suck again.
What happened?
So we had a great time at Captain Con. New England Privateers did a great job, put on a good show. Amazing weekend. We suck at War Machine, which is fine. That's not new. So
how did you do at drinking?
I am the best at drinking. No, we did just fine at drinking.
Yeah, we did fine.
Well, I sent you the picture of the cheap maple whiskey that we had.
How was it?
It was actually pretty good, but I'm not a whiskey like connoisseur, so to me, I don't give a shit. But
not good?
It was not good whiskey.
Well, it was a $17 bottle of whiskey. Yeah, of course it wasn't good.
I'll tell you what, after I downed the bottle of wine and had some beers, it tasted just fine, though.
I don't think I've ever drank wine at a con.
Yeah.
It was an interesting choice. It was an interesting choice, but yeah, you know what? It worked out pretty good.
So what happened was we got up there and we got in the hotel and all of a sudden we're like, we should go to the liquor store first because we're not going to have a chance till later tomorrow night. So we got to the liquor store with 10 minutes left. We walked in the door at 9:50 and they were closing at 10. So we had to make some quick decisions.
Yeah, we didn't want to be those customers.
Well, it was just that. It was more like I didn't want them to be like, it's 10 o'clock. We can't sell you liquor anymore legally. So I didn't think about that angle.
Yeah. That is true.
That's what I was afraid of. So I just ran around and grabbed a thing of beer, a 12-pack of beer, and saw some shitty maple whiskey and was like, Brad talked about something like this. I'm going to do it.
Same thing. I grabbed some hard ciders and I'm just like, you know, I want something else too though. And there's been this bottle of wine that I've been buying, like when my wife and I go to like parties and stuff, and it's like we'll bring a bottle of wine or something. I've been bringing this bottle of wine. I've yet to have a glass of it myself.
It was good.
So when I saw it, I was like
it was what, Ravenswood?
Yeah, it was Ravenswood. It was one of the higher end Ravenwoods. But they have like tiers. Anyway, no, it was still a cheap bottle of wine. Anyway, yeah, it was really good, actually. It was interesting, though, because it was like, you know, everybody's got all the beers and the shot glasses. Here I am with, like, my little plastic wine glass.
It seemed a little sophisticated, especially for Ryan.
Yes.
Told
you. Shortly after we got there, Nate Klinger, Jason, and Rob showed up. So we hung out with them, had a few drinks, kind of just wandered as everything was getting set up. And then went to bed.
You missed it. So what he forgets to insert is Rob is the other one who helped me finish that bottle. And like 2 a.m. rolls around and we look at each other like, well, I'm not really ready for bed yet. Let's go play a game of War Machine.
Oh, yeah. I did forget we played Drunk Machine.
That was your...
So I get to play Jason, who doesn't drink. So he was sober. So that was like real fair. But then
Jason doesn't drink?
He does not.
What?
But he's fun enough. He doesn't need to. So it basically came down to Junior needing a boosted 14 and a hard 8, and I rolled a 16 and a 9, and that's how I won the game.
Rias
while she was engaged.
I walk over, and he's like, yeah, this is just over, and I look at Graham, I'm like, there's nothing left for you to act. But he's like, well, I got Junior, but he's not going to do anything. Oh, whatever. He aims, boom, boom, I win the game. Yeah,
that was cool. So that was fun.
Was that the high of the War Machine for you? Was the 2 a.m. drunk?
The 2 a.m. drunk Iron Arena game?
Was that the height of your War Machine prowess that weekend?
No, the team of my personal? Yeah, sure. Yeah. But I also had to play like Marc-Andre LeBlanc and Jason Belcher and some, you know, good players. So I was going to get stomped.
I've heard those names before.
Yeah, so I was going to get rolled in those games regardless. But
for the record, we did not feed him to the wolves. He was our captain.
No, I put myself up for captain because, you know, mainly because you guys didn't want to do it, but that's somebody,
yeah, no shit.
Somebody had to do it.
Was so. When you say captain, was it paired off or was it like captain plays captain?
Captain plays captain.
Yeah, okay. Could you switch it up at all? Is there like the team feet?
Team feet.
How'd you decide who had to feed first?
You roll off, and then whoever wins is going to choose second, obviously.
I thought it was the same thing we did at the Nirvana team.
It's the same thing I did. I just didn't know if it was the same on the larger event scale.
Yeah, that's the same it was last year and the year before.
We actually never ended up team feeding. We didn't. We probably should have last round, which is obviously what you say after you lose, right? Like, oh, yeah, we should have swapped that matchup.
Did all three of you lose games or no? Was it one or two?
No, we all three of us
No, lost. I mean in the last round, was it all last three?
No, Dan won.
I had the worst loss I think I've ever had in War Machine, but
we all carried like the one game Dan lost and then me and Ryan both won, and then so I mean we all kind of carried our weight other than sucking, right? Yeah. And not, yeah, you know, not, of, not yeah, continuing not to doing win anything. Games.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Standard issue. Basically, what the thing I took away from that was, like, so I played Jason Belcher, who was playing Zal 2 with all the Immortals, and mm-hmm. I had Haley 2 with Stormlances and blah, blah, all the stuff I was playing before. And I made the mistake of feeding first. I have a hard time identifying those types of games where you look and you go, whoever feeds first probably loses. Now, I'm not saying if he feeds first, he loses because he's a much better player than I am, but...
You weren't helping
it's what, but you didn't help your own cause, right? You're already fighting an uphill battle, and that's one of those games where... So I feet first, then he walks forward and feets, and all his Immortals are arm 22, and it's like, well, shit. Probably not going to do anything on my post-feet turn.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, so that was tough. So again, that was a lesson learned. I have to really sit there and think. Like, I'm so used to Haley going and wanting to feet that I kind of just muscle memoried it instead of like actually thinking through it and going... this is definitely a match where I don't want to do that. So I think that's one thing I definitely took away from that. Played a guy from Baltimore, Anthony Gibbs. Super nice guy. One of the nicest guys I've ever played, to the point where I found myself rooting for him on his turn to beat me, because he was just so nice that I was just like, he was just like so positive about the stuff. Oh yeah, man, like that was a really nice turn and stuff. I was on his turn. I found myself being like, oh, that was awesome. Like such a good move, man. And like, oh yeah, you just do this and you're going to win. I'm like, wait, I'm fucking playing this game. Like, yeah.
I will say that was one thing. I don't know if it's just a different perspective I had when going in there. But like, I think this was like at least the opponents I ran into personally were some of the nicer opponents I've ever.
I found a lot of people saying that, like, may have been a little newer, that we're talking about the War Machine community as a whole. Well, obviously, yeah, you have internet trolls and et cetera, but yeah, versus your other tabletop games. And I definitely think there's something to that. I mean, it's one of the things I enjoy most about the cons is meeting people that you play. Because before you play them, they're just people that you don't recognize. You've probably passed them 20 times for the weekend, and then you play them, and then you see them 5-6 more times, and you know you say hi, you start talking. Like, I don't know, it's definitely one of the more enjoyable things about the con to me, outside of just playing War Machine.
Yeah, and I scrubbed in pretty hard too. With I brought a butcher list because I kind of audibled off of what I'd been practicing with all beforehand, and I really liked the list and the game that I played it, the way I built the list to play, which was the scenario. It played phenomenally well. The other losses, one of the loss, I had Butcher out. This was the drunk machine. I had him about half an inch too far to the left, so the conquest got him instead of not being able to get him. It's mm-hmm. kind of bad.
Yes.
Butcher does die to a conquest. And the other stuff was just stupid mistakes from not... I mean, I haven't played Butcher in Mark III yet, so... It was, there's a lot of like dumb.
Well, I will say one of the weird things that happened in your flight was, so his flight ended after 3 rounds.
Yeah, that was annoying, actually.
They called round timer, and there was still like 4 to 5 games going. And like, I believe one table had 15 to 20 minutes combined left on their clock.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that,
which leads, something happened. Leads me to believe that they started the round timer about the time they started posting pairings, which... When you're playing with that many people, you got to give people 10 minutes to get their shit, go get to a table. I mean, don't get me wrong. They could have fucked up and started super late. But you had 4 or 5 games, I believe, that were still going when they called round timer, which I've never seen.
There was 3 games because mine just finished before that happened. Mine was a tunnel vision assassination attempt. Mm-hmm. I was going to have Butcher on 6 focus after feet on, next to his caster. Which is pretty much, I win. Then I fucked up a Kodiak location, so I couldn't vent steam on 2 guys. I only got 1. So it was going to be Butcher with 4 focus. Next was Caster. That's still pretty good. Keep going. And then I had to throw an Oblit to clear something. And then it was going to be Butcher with 2 focus. Already have used his charge attack. Next was Caster. I still almost killed him. But that's like a 50-50. And you stop going for it at that point. You do something else. Mm-hmm. And I just, every stage, I was just, you know, I'm going to do it. And it's like, oh, I have to do this to fix it. And I keep finding ways to fix it, but it's like, if I just backed off and killed stuff, I would have been fine. But yeah, my game ended, and then they called the round timer. I will say, the timer, they couldn't have started it right at pairing. We were the first pairings up, so they would have caught somebody else's flight, I feel like, if they'd done that. But what their choices of what to do, I guess, is just how it had to come out. But we had some somewhat dissatisfied War Machine players.
Yeah,
there was a couple games. I don't want to mention names, and I'm so horrible with names anyway. But like where it was like one person was unequivocally winning.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that's in the packet though. Like round timer gets called. You're done.
It left some bad tastes for the day.
There was a couple people that weren't super happy, but you know that is what it is.
I will say the Irish 2 into the Una list worked the way I thought it was going to work, and if I had just stuck with my original strategy, it would have done pretty better. I got to kill all the birds though.
Yeah, but moral victory. Right. But you then lost on scenario.
Well, yeah, so. Yeah. I mean, yes. If I just done what I was supposed to, I probably, with the dice rolls, I probably would have been fine with it. But yeah, no. Big thing here, if you make a nice plan, you build a list around it, and then you go in.
And you don't do that plan? Operate
half that plan and then decide, I'm going to kill all these annoying fucking birds. You don't win the game. Big shocker.
Well, you did a similar thing last year where you went up and you played Iris 2 and you were... You didn't get enough stuff far enough forward.
Oh no, that was just me getting my shit kicked in by a random Sigdar player. There was no plan there. Oh my god, no, there was no plan there. It was incursion with Haley 2 with double storm lances, and I took a cautious approach. And he was angry that he couldn't win in one round, one set of turns, because I was able to run one winter guard he missed over and contest a flag. No, that was just me getting my ass kicked. I didn't have a good plan for that one.
Anyway, so actually the highlight of my weekend might have been when in Thunderdome and Ryan charged Haley 2 with Butcher 3. Who the fuck else were we playing? Strakoff and Sorsha 1?
It's so much worse than that. It was Sorsha 1 charges. You know, I didn't use my feet because I wanted to use it on the Scorn player. And then Butcher... So I'm like, I leave Haley. Sorsha goes in, doesn't get it done. I'm like, it's okay. It was not great math because of her defense being so high. And then Butcher goes in, and with feet and... What did I use? 8 focus plus initial attack? I couldn't kill Haley?
Yeah, it was
like,
bad.
What the hell is that? Oh, dude, my dice were shitting on me on that one. That was great.
That seems a little unlikely.
It was the most unlikely thing I've ever seen.
9 attacks. It was 9 attacks from Butcher, and I couldn't kill her.
No, you didn't
use that many attacks.
No, it was 6.
You were camping.
I was camping 4 after feet.
Oh, you did.
It was 8 bot attacks and 1 initial charge attack.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen him. And he was in my back arc.
And I was in his back arc.
Yeah.
With a Mat 9 Weapon Master.
Yeah. It was some
power strength 16 Weapon Master.
No, 18 I had silence. Oh, no. No, I didn't have silence up. I didn't have silence up.
Even still?
Full attacks.
Yeah. I mean, she had Arcane Shield.
Sure.
But, you know.
Yeah.
I missed.
I'm going to say that's what's
I know her. I missed at least 4 of the attacks. I think I might have missed 5. I'm not sure now. I missed 4.
Did they have Stomping Grounds?
I don't think so.
I played at War Machine Weekend. It's a single caster and a colossal.
Is it Colossal Mania?
The Colossal Wrestling? Is it the one where the caster starts in the corner and the colossal's like in this little killboxy area?
Yes, but the colossal has to get into that killboxy area or else it takes damage.
Oh, okay.
So they both start in the corner.
It might be similar.
The way they had us do it was you had to start at the, what was it? I think the colossal had to start touching a table edge, like in the corner, and your warcaster started base to base with that.
Oh, this was a little different.
Or something like that. I forget the exact rules.
This was something similar. I was drunk. This was something similar, but it was once your colossal was dead, kill box came into effect for your caster, so your caster had to run into the arena and start dealing with
colossals.
It was interesting. We had to go and find the rules by going onto someone's YouTube channel who had played it at SmogCon.
Sure.
And had happened to post most of the rules.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a little disappointed they didn't have the sheet printed by the table.
Right.
I think some things got played wrong. But yeah, that was actually a lot of fun. I had Koslov go in.
Koslov?
Koslov. I call him Koslov because I'm stupid. But... I went in and finished off 2 half-dead colossals.
Yeah, and then got all mad when, like, people were going to start killing him back. It was like, what the fuck did you think was going to happen?
I didn't
get
all mad.
Yeah, you got fucking... You were a 14-year-old girl getting rejected from fucking prom mad. You were... So upset.
Oh my god. I don't remember being that upset.
Yeah, you were. We did drinking. The same thing in Thunderdome too. It's just like as soon as people come to touch Ryan's toys.
No. Butcher missed those attacks. I was mad about that, not anything else.
Yes, you're right. I understand why you were upset about that. However, it was just like, Ryan's like, I'm going to go kill all the things and do all these awesome things. And it's like, I think I'm going to kill one of your casters back. No, man, what the fuck? I didn't do anything to you. Leave my stuff alone. Go kill him.
So if you played in the thing where it was the caster and colossal, was it like you get 1 point for each model that's killed and it's like 2 or 3 points for a colossal, most points at the end wins?
See, we actually couldn't even find rules about that.
Oh, before. All right. So that's what it was roughly at Orange Weekend. And like, I had this great idea that I was going to bring Gorshade 1, and then I didn't realize that as soon as people started killing my Bane Warriors, that my opponents each got a point for killing a Bane Warrior.
Gross.
So I was like bringing a list that had like 10 points in it. So
you were just giving
and everyone else had like 3.
Yeah.
So I was like, I got to win and give away no models. Okay, time to hide. Just save it. Yeah. So it worked all right. Worked all right. I think I won one of them. I played in like 2 of them. I played in 3 of them. I won 2 of them, but... Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I wish it had. We were kind of like playing rabbity. We're making our own rules up with it.
Because I'm sure you had to.
Filling in the blanks.
Yeah, it wasn't really clean. Like, it wasn't... The rules didn't work the way that I think they were intended. Or it just... I don't know. It didn't seem to work the way that it should have.
Did you guys watch any of the Masters games? I know you didn't make it into the Masters.
Yep.
But was there any lists that you... I mean, if they get that far into Masters, like even if they scrubbed out round one, was there any lists that you saw individually that were like, that's a cool list?
I will tell you right now, until you see Helios on the table,
mm-hmm.
Oh dear Christ.
Brad was the one of us that said he thought when Helios came out, it was going to be the best colossal in the game. I mean, he called that from day one.
Woo!
It's not even a question, and I'll tell you right now, Ireland's not to give him any more ego, but his list.
That's true.
That is true. His list was just scary. His Virus list. So it was Helios,
Imperatus,
yeah. And then like just a ton of
bunch of five Griffins.
Griffins, and then a
five Griffins, Virus 2, triple Arcanist with
yep.
The solo battle glove guy.
Yep,
and it was in theme, so all the Arcanists were free.
Yep. Yeah, it was absolutely disgusting. I watched him. He played it a couple times that weekend, and I watched him do just some absolutely...
Well, I saw him use it at the Seamroller I was running. He played against a Kator guy who was running Karchev, and
that's bad.
Top of 2 killed Ruin, gave away nothing.
Yeah, he actually played in the Midnight. He played Ron with
I heard.
And I think by turn 3, I'm not sure if the Kator player had made an attack, because he was just like, push everything away except this guy, pull him in, kill him, and lose nothing.
Yeah.
It was gross.
Yeah.
I think he even apologized to the guy a couple times.
Multiple times.
In the game, which, like, he doesn't do.
Multiple times.
That was
times.
During the Midnight, though, so.
Yeah, tractor beams are good.
Yeah. It's so dumb that it's just like, oh, I'm going to push you this way. Now I'm going to pull you this way. Now I'm going to put, like, it's not linear at all. It's
There's like, not linear, and then there's what the fuck. Cause that And that qualifies into...
And then you have to factor in the sidesteps off of Paradis.
Yeah, he can just, like, line up fucking sidestep for
Paradis. That's what he was saying. He's like, it's not even the threat of the pull. It's the... Hey, you left your caster safe, so I'm just going to move this model here, move that model here, move this model. Okay, and then Paradis has a clean sidestep lane right to your caster.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really good list, and I have no idea whatsoever what Kator would do into it, except for, like, pray to God you can keep your Mana Wars around your jacks and, like, escort your 2 attacking jacks up. But it's not pretty. It's not a good look.
Yeah, no matter what. I don't have a good answer for it either, to be honest. It's not... It's not fun.
Stealth helps. It might help, but
tractor beam only shoots 5.
We'll see how that works out.
Troll theme with whelps. You can just go. Oh no, because it doesn't damage.
Doesn't do damage. Fuck. You don't get to pop your whelp out. It doesn't do damage.
Fuck. Okay, never mind.
If there's any saving grace, it's 3 inches in a straight line. So
it's true, but it's. Ugh, yeah. It's gross.
There's no AoEs in there. You just playing a ball and...
Yeah, it's really gross, though. I don't know. That thing's dirty.
Yeah, yeah, you have to play differently into it. It's really good.
It's meta-bending, I think.
But you have to play differently into it. You do. But, like, at the same time, if that list... And, well, I mean, I'm sure you could do this with different lists. Like, if you arranged the list out differently. But if you went with, like, Helios and then put, like, a shit ton of AoEs in it, like, now playing in a ball around your shit isn't maybe always a good idea. Manowars can probably do it, like you were saying, because they're... Don't give a shit about blast damage.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. After, like, that same game I was telling you when I saw him playing against Karchev, the turn after Ruin got taken off the table for nothing.
it's always a bad luck.
The card chef player put like all of his mechanics and stuff in front. It's like, well, you guys aren't going to do anything. So they all ran in front of the jacks.
I guess I play Nemo 3 and just keep Magnetic Hold up all the time.
Yeah, that's certainly an option.
I guess.
And you're just playing jacks on jacks.
Yeah.
And you have better guns so you can try and whittle them down the way in.
Yeah. Don't feel great about that.
Gotta help you when you get to melee, though.
Yeah, yeah, I was going to say. This doesn't help when I get to melee. So yeah, Masters, we watched a couple games. That was fun.
Any other interesting lists? Maybe from guys we don't know, like just lists you saw on the table?
Nothing that I was paying attention to, because we were also playing in Who's the Boss. So
okay.
Yeah. So we were like back and forth between like I'd finish a game, go watch a little bit, and then come back. So I didn't really get the full picture on the lists.
So what case did you get for Who's the Boss?
Round one... I got Makeda 3.
Okay, what's that one's feeding again? Oh, it's the kill a thing
like Pac-Man's. Yeah. Like put a fury, or your shit can gain a fury or focus in my case, or she can gain one.
I got Nemo 1. Let me tell you, that was a lot of fun.
And you were playing Legion.
Because I was playing Legion, so I threw an Angelius 20 or 17.
Because you can move it 6.
No, right. I could Scythian it. It was only 3.
Seraph.
I was able to Seraph. I was able to Seraph it for 2.
So yeah, Slipstream.
Then I had 3 from that, and then he had a speed. One of the things gave it a speed buff, I think.
Not in Nemo 3.
That's Nemo 5.
1. Not in Nemo.
That's 17 inches. So that's 17 inches right there. But then I had lightning tendrils on it too, which was really cute.
Well, it already has reach, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it gave it Electro Leap.
Sure. Okay.
And plus 2 strength.
The bike gets reach.
And plus 2 strength. So it was,
there it is.
It was kind of cute to go in with the PAL 16 and what the heck is it called? Power overloading or whatever with the
force overboost.
So I was able to force anywhere on the deck. My beasts were all over the place. It was fun.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Dan was nice enough to let Ryan borrow his Legion stuff, so we thank him for that.
Round 2 casters.
Who'd you get round 2?
I got Iris. I got Iris 2, which was entertaining as hell because I've been playing them all weekend.
Iris 2 running Legion?
Yeah.
Okay. How'd that go?
So Hellmounts with Battle Lust on them.
That seems good.
Are really funny.
That seems good.
I had Kaya 2.
That's right. That was the turn to Kaya 2 with your teleporting jacks.
Which is really cool. Yeah, she was pretty cool in Signar.
Okay.
Yeah. Shadow Pack, Stealth Jacks.
Did you guys win both your first 2 rounds in this or no?
I lost my first round on purpose.
Who's the Boss, though? Yeah, you don't... The way they have the achievements, like, you only need to win one game to get the bonus point for that, but there's also like other bonus, like kill a caster with a unit or a solo, or throw a model 6+ inches, like all
and
the achievements
with your squad, and
so winning kind of doesn't matter.
You need to win one game, that's all you need to win the entire time.
I did win my first game because I played Ian, one of the guys that plays Mercs, or he plays Cephalix, really good player. He had Krios 3 and he came in on me on Makeda. I think he wanted to use all his spells, which is what Krios's feat does. So he did that because that's an achievement. And he ends up not killing me, which is also an achievement. And then I killed him, so I got the achievement for killing a caster with a caster. And he got 2 achievements for casting all spells and charging and dying. So that was cool. It was kind of like an agreement that, like, I'm going to do this and not kill you, and then you kill me, and then we'll check off a whole bunch of achievements.
Okay.
It's a really, like... If you play Spelldraft, like, Spelldraft's a wacky kind of fun format.
Yes.
Who's the Boss is, like, the drunk brother of that. It's the drunk uncle. It's really, really wacky.
I mean,
you're doing all kinds of just stupid shit the whole game because you're looking at your sheet going, well, I've already killed a solo with a solo, I need to do something else.
You can't go into Who's the Boss with any sort of serious attitude.
Oh, you can.
Okay.
I've actually never played Who's the Boss. It's just, for whatever reason, I'm always in another event when it's running. So I've never actually played in Who's the Boss.
I think I like Spelldraft better, but Who's the Boss was a fucking blast.
What about round 3? Did you get cash?
I got Midas.
So
I got to live the dream, and I got Midas with Battle Lust charging a war beast. So I got to do a little 5 dice fucking dream action.
Okay. Yeah.
So I have no idea how any Signar player can pick up Haley 3 and not have a brain aneurysm the first
time. You had Haley 3, I'm sure?
Yes, that was my third one. And at first, I'm looking at the card, and I'm going, oh, my God, this is going to be an absolute nightmare for my opponent. And then, I put it on the table, and I'm just like...
No, it's a nightmare for me. No!
I have no idea, because we're on 42-minute clocks, because they're 50-point lists.
Sure.
So I'm like, the one easy part was I cast Temporal...
Flux,
whatever. So all of my shit's defense 16.
Defense 16 angels?
Oh, it was really nasty with the list I made. But like, I only had two beasts in that list, so I couldn't generate enough fury. So I could only use two of the Haleys at a time.
Oh.
It was an absolute nightmare. So not only do I have...
Oh, because I take on fury.
Yeah. So,
oh, that's not good.
So not only do I have the nightmare of like trying to plan out all of the Haley moves, like,
but you got to try to get back 12 focus,
well, or fury. I can't generate 12. So I can't use 12.
Right.
I can only use 8. So now not only do I have to figure out what I'm doing with the fucking Haleys, but I've got to figure out how to do it with only 8 focus.
Yeah.
It's an absolute nightmare. That was the other thing I forgot about. The Nemo 1 gives you an extra, let you have 4 focus on a jack instead of...
Yeah.
Well, so I had Fury 5 stat angels, which that was a lot of fun.
Was that how they let you do that?
Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was really good.
So yeah, that was a fun 4 minutes. So I ended up taking 3rd just off bonus achievements. Woo! And got some cute things. So that was cool.
Doing the podcast strong.
Yeah. And I think that was about it. We played, board game wise, Libertalia. Did you ever hear of that?
No, before we get into board games, what was like your most memorable game from any one of the events from this weekend? Like, if you had to pick one, that was like either you pulled off something that you're like you either lived the dream on your list, like the plan that the list had all went to it, or you lost to an opponent because of something you did not see they were able to do. I don't know. I'm spitballing different things that I would find memorable.
I have one that's stuck in my head, and I'm kind of a heartless bastard, so sure. I normally don't care about winning. Like, I'm not one of those people who's going to apologize to an opponent. But my God, did I feel horrible playing into... God, what was she playing? Kalissa. He was playing...
I know what you meant. Yeah.
It was like Kalissa, 2 Banshees, Sentinels, and then a bunch of support models. And I dropped Butcher 3 into it. And now I find that the Mana Wars and the 4-plus Jack lists in Kador normally play very well into red because they have trouble dealing with... either whatever the shtick of the list is, plus 4 heavies. And I didn't lose a single model, and I think I took a total of 12 damage between, like, a couple damage to the Mana Wars and a couple damage to... It was just every plan I came up with was perfect. I executed every... Like, I got into the... It was one of those games where I got into the zone, and, like, I really didn't make any mistakes. And then... I led with a Kodiak, hoping to bait out a couple of the Sentinels, and he came at me with like 7 of them instead of like 2 of them.
How did that not take more than 12 damage?
Because we only really got me with like 2 or 3 of them. Oh. So
even still, like,
I wasn't taking a ton of damage.
Okay,
because Sentinels are what, POW 11?
Yeah, they're
so dice off 9.
Sure, they do 5.
On, yeah, if they charge,
didn't they?
No.
Why weren't they charging?
I don't remember. Oh, I think there was a wall or something, or I don't remember exactly what it was, but he made it to me. He missed a couple swings. It was just he had a bad game and I had a really good game, and it was a bad mess.
I don't know the rest of any of that, but I saw Ryan's war room grid when he was done and he just showed me, and I was just like, oh God.
Okay.
I probably did take more. The one jack was, I probably did take more than 12. He didn't disable anything, but it probably was more than 12. I forgot about the one jack that got hit hard. Oh, but dude, it was brutal. And then the worst part is at the end of the game, we're in a team tournament and I scored several control points before. So I'm like, well, I got to try to score 5 control points here. So I get Ruin up where Ruin could have charged his caster, but instead goes in and clears off the flag, right? So I'm up to 4.
Mm-hmm.
So Ruin's sitting there with 4 with full souls, and he's like, okay. I'm like, well, you could try for like a last ditch assassination. Like, I'm trying to help him engineer in a thing, and I'm not paying attention. Like, I don't know what's going through his head. So he moves up, takes a free strike from a Kodiak, who misses, which is fine, and then moves around, skirts Ruin's melee range, and then goes to cast a spell. And I'm like, on herself. And I'm like, yeah, I cancel the spell. Because it doesn't say enemy spell targeting friendly.
Right, it just says, within.
With model targets a model within whatever, 3 inches. So I was just like, whoop. So that was the end of the assassin. I think he was trying to like Phantom Hunter himself or something. Yeah, it was bad. It was really bad.
Like a quick aside, almost a similar vein. So it reminds me of a steamroller I was playing at Red Caps, where the primary tiebreaker for standings was control points. So we were going into the final round, and I kind of told my opponent that I only wanted to win this game on control points. Winning this game down on control points, I know, won't really put me in any chance of getting anything. So as the game's going on, I'm getting to a point where I'm winning, or I have the upper hand. So he starts playing more and more outlandish with his caster. I'm playing the Convergence, and he has Lucant just standing in the middle of the table. Just, I'm only on like 2 or 3 control points at this point, so if I kill him, I don't get up to 5. Like, he's not threatening to kill me, but Lucant's just standing in the middle. Nightmare is like 5 inches away. Just there. He's like, I could just kill you. You're on 0 camp, standing in the middle of the table, but I'm not gonna. So it just almost reminded me of the same thing. Or like, Ruin's just standing there. I could kill you.
As Ryan found out later, control points didn't matter at all because it was team wins and then strength of schedule were the next 2 tiebreakers.
Womp, 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 womp.
But he didn't know that at the time. So, hey, we'll take a fucking 5-0 scenario win all day.
So, Grant, your memorable game?
No, I don't think I honestly really had one. I mean, I had a couple wins. I played okay. And I don't think any of them really stood out.
What about a loss then?
Sloan can't kill arcane shielded storm lances and D-cell.
That was a bad game for you.
What an armor 22?
Yep. So hunters are -8.
Yeah, because they half and then +5.
Mm-hmm. So I was playing Marc-Andre LeBlanc, and he told me after. I mean, this was Striker 2, yep. A bunch of Chargers, Forge Guard, Storm Lances.
Murdoch on
the Storm Guard, and then Thorn. And basically, I mean, he told me the list was designed to take the meter match. It was designed for Sloan because Arcane Shielded Storm Lances and D-Cell are a problem, and if you don't deal with them, they'll fuck your hunters in the ass. Yeah. And they'll be in your face super quick, so you have to deal with them. So you almost have to feet to try to... You almost have to blow your feet to try to kill them, and the dice aren't... The math isn't great for you to do it.
Was this the list you were gushing over that you loved so much that you were going to steal it?
No, that was Anthony's list. I like his a lot. It's like 400 and then double Storm Lances with Lattermore. So you still get the output.
Good stuff.
You still get the output with hunters on Sloan feet turn, but you also have scenario presence and melee presence with Storm Lances. So it's a very good list.
You know, really, that would like actually it. Clear infantry really well, wouldn't it? Because it you could literally feet on in the Storm Lances, but get 2 shots with their lances.
No, because it's battle group.
Oh, is it bad?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. But still, like, it's a very good list, so I am contemplating. I already told him, I'm like, yeah, I'm probably going to steal this list. Like, that's cool, man. So nothing super crazy stood out for me, to be honest, as far as games go. But that loss stood out because I was like, well, yeah, that math is not great, so, you know, well played. So,
okay.
It's just something to think about, like, for, I guess, my pairings and stuff going forward that is a mirror opponent. That's something I have to think about, is that people... Arcane Shield Storm Lance is not great for Sloan. So that's a place where my own Storm Lances may have been much better.
Yeah.
So nothing super great there. We didn't actually play a ton of board games, so I'm not going to get into like a ton of them. I mean, we played Libertalia. I don't know if you ever heard of that.
No.
That game was pretty cool.
That game was a phenomenal game. It was not a great con game because it wasn't like crazy over the top or anything. Like there was no point to get super, super excited about and get really into it while you were drunk.
So
but it was a very good game.
It was no Secret know. Hitler.
It was not no, Secret was not Hitler. Secret we did Hitler. We did play Secret Hitler Saturday night.
At the con. Oh, who's the group?
It was me, Ryan, Mike, Klinger, Steve Rabideau. I forget the one guy's name. He's a newer player from the SOBs. Kayo, I think his name is.
Yeah. Something like that.
You had a full group of 10, though, right?
No, we couldn't get 10. Although Ireland did walk into the room and try to, like, grab. He's like, I don't know. I may have, like, 20 people coming, or I may have 0. Like, I don't know. I just went in and tried to grab a group.
He is.
So we ended up pulling up two other people. So we had, like, I think at one point, I think we ended up just having 7 because we had people rotate in. Some people went to bed. Some people showed up. So it was good. It was fun.
I will say, can you believe that they wouldn't believe that Mike and I were not fascists? We're sitting there telling them we're not fascists. But Mike and I have such honest faces.
Mike is awful at that game. If there's anything he's bad at, he cannot lie at all, and he does not know when people are lying to him.
He actually did pretty well. He had me
not when I was with him
one round. He had me pretty fucking good because he was passing liberal policies.
Oh, you mean like what you should be doing?
Like what you should be doing. But like two in a row, like between where me and him were. How did that end up happening? It doesn't matter. Anyway, he had me pretty sold.
And then shit gets fucked.
And then
he was Hitler.
And then he was Hitler. But yeah. It was cool. But that's how that game goes. That game's awesome.
Everybody's screaming at Grant. No, he's Hitler. He's Hitler. I make him chancellor. He's Hitler.
So vote it down. Got to vote no.
Yep, got to vote no.
Got to vote no. If you guys, whoever listens to this, I think we have like three fans, right?
Yeah.
If you haven't played Secret Hitler yet, do it.
Yep.
Rules are free online or you can buy it with, you know, money. Fucking good.
Yep. Good game. The other game I'm going to plug real quick because I was talking to Seppi Yoon, who does Fight in a Box, and that's Squirrel or Die or End of the Line. We played, if you've listened to Muse, he's been on there. He's friends with them. He's a really awesome guy. The company puts out great games. I think End of the Line is now available officially for purchase.
I believe
we bought it at the con. If not, go find it. It's a great game. It's like a resource management, what's the other word? Like... order of operations type of game.
I don't know what you'd call that.
Post-apocalyptic, where your family's trying to scavenge for resources and dick everybody else over.
It's a funny game.
Awesome game. So I told him that we would talk about it on the podcast, so go look up his shit. And
Squirrel or Die is a great just party game.
Yeah, it's just
like,
a great
if you ever have to play a game that's like kind of a nerd game,
mm-hmm.
you don't have nerds, you've just got people at like a party, Squirrel or Die is great.
All right, so I'll stop jerking people off. Let's get into some new stuff that all dropped while we were at the con.
There's new stuff?
There is not for you.
Well, fuck.
Yeah, so.
Play more than one faction. Yeah,
get good.
No, that's all right.
All right, so we're going to start in Signar, as per usual on this cast.
Oh, Christ.
So, Kane's
They're
Hellslingers.
First in my heart.
They're first in my heart, too. So, we have Kane's Hellslingers. They are a mercenary warcaster unit that also will play in Signar. He is focus 6, he's speed 7, strength 5, mat 4, rat 9, defense 17, armor 13, and he is gunfighter. He has 2 Spellstorm pistols, which are range 12, pow 12 magic weapons. He has 20 Warjack points, which is super sad, and 15 boxes. He has with him Ryan and Watts. They are both speed 6, rat 8, defense 14, armor 11, with gunfighter. Ryan has 2 Mage Lock pistols, which are range 10, pow 10, and Watts has a Mage Lock rifle, which is range 14. Kane has 3 different attack types. He has Blast, so his attacks become AoE 3. He has Black Penny, so he ignores the target into melee defense bonus. And he has Witch Mark. If it hits an enemy model during this model's activation, till the end of that activation, this model can target and automatically hit that enemy model with spells ignoring range and line of sight. And he has Reload 1 on both of his guns. Ryan has Black Penny, Brutal Damage, and Shadow Fire. And Watts has Black Penny, Brutal Damage, and Grievous Wounds. The spell list, he has Calamity. Cost 3, range 10, upkeep. Target model unit suffers minus 2 defense and armor. He has Flicker, which is a cost 2 place. He places models in the spellcaster's unit anywhere completely within 2 inches. They're not affected by while they're out of formation, and it can only be cast once per activation. He has Locomotion, which is range 6. The spellcaster spends up to 3 focus points to cast Locomotion. Target Warjack in the battle group immediately advances up to 1 inch for each focus point spent, and they can only be targeted at once per activation. Then he has Mage Sight, which is a cost 2 range control AoE 5 upkeep. Place a 5-inch AoE anywhere completely within the spellcaster's control range. While a model is within the AoE, models in the spellcaster's battle group ignore forest and cloud effects when drawing line of sight and ignore stealth when attacking it. So get fucked, Wormwood. And then his feat is Ranged Synergy. While in Kane's control range, models in his battle group gain a plus 1 cumulative bonus on ranged attack and ranged damage rolls. For each other model in his battle group that hit an enemy model with a ranged attack this turn, the cumulative bonus cannot exceed plus 3.
So before we go into his thing, the one thing that was errated already is if you take him in Mercs, the only way you can take Ace if you want to is if it's in a theme list.
Correct. Yes, that did already come out.
Odd.
Yeah.
Because the theme list would say you can take character jacks, whereas the normal list, that's interesting.
Well, the theme list says... it just says non-character jacks, usually, because they're not specific to warcasters.
But Ace being a Signar jack, so they had to clarify that since he's
bonded. Right, so you can only take Ace in a theme force for mercenaries. If you take Kane 3 as a Mercs caster, you can't take Ace unless it's a theme force.
Correct.
Which I don't think there is a theme force for him yet, right?
I don't think so. Unless he can't play in Kingmaker.
He can't do Kingmaker.
So
I was going to say. Damn.
So there's no list yet in Mercs that you can take Ace in.
Correct.
Okay. So they released a Mercs caster who is not a Mercs caster.
Well, he's Mercs and Signar. You can't take Ace in Mercs.
Don't take Ace.
I'm just saying. I mean, he really is a Signar. Is he a Mercs card?
Or no, he is a Signar card. Okay. I think in Signar, but I think if I make him in Mercs, I assume he's going
to
have Mercs.
I'd be curious to see what his actual, like, is he a mercenary caster?
Or? No, he is a mercenary caster.
He is a mercenary
And he's partisan Signar.
And he's better in Signar than he will ever be in Mercs.
I don't think that's true at all, actually. No.
Okay. They have less range jacks in Mercs, but
I think Calamity might shine more in Mercs.
Yeah, good you're chance.
Probably right.
And I think the Galleon's stupid with him.
Yep.
The Galleon will be stupid with him.
Yeah, but you have to take the other range jacks to really benefit. I guess just from Calamity point of view, sure.
We've talked about this before, though. His squad by himself puts up the +3 already. So the Galleon's going to be going at max synergy.
They don't count as one thing?
Yeah, it's a model. It's per model and battle group.
So Kane hits it, Ryan hits it, Watt hits something, and you're at +3 for whatever jack decides to go. So the Galleon will be going at a +3. And that does apply to all of its blast damage. And
I'm not sure because I still have a feeling you're going to want to flicker away. So I don't know. Ryan might still end up being out. You may still need to activate one other thing sometimes, right?
Well,
you're not going to always get.
They're a unit. You take all your shots with them and then flicker.
No. I understand. I'm just saying range-wise. I don't know where they're going to be. I'm not sure that that's always like. I don't know that I can count on that like all the time. But possibly. So anyway, you're looking at a +5 damage swing basically anywhere that you need it to be.
Yep. 7 with Iana.
Which is super gross. If he's in Mercs, 7 with Iana.
Mm-hmm.
I there's definitely some potential there. I haven't made the list that I feel like is super gross, but I mean, I feel like it's something with Chargers or Cyclones. Dynamo obviously is great with him.
No, we made this. Grant made this stupid at five Cyclones.
It was like six Cyclones. Some fucking retarded.
And Ace.
Like, yeah.
And that way you could lay down literally an entire line of covering fire
and not kill anything ever.
And then when they got closer to you, you would pop his feet and you could shoot off a Colossal. You could shoot anything off.
Yeah, you could shoot anything off the table. But I don't think that list is good.
It's not funny. Good.
But I think Cyclones could be cool. Grenadiers potentially, even if you put trenchers in and they're gonna get 3 shots at POW 18. That's pretty gross against the Calamity target. I don't know. I think there's definitely something there. An armor debuff in Signar is definitely something we haven't seen before, and
really
it's got potential. Yeah.
There's no
not armor. I mean, we have defense debuffs with Haley 1 and Haley 3. Armor debuff, I think Ragman is the one.
Yeah, I guess you don't. Wow.
So I think he's interesting. I don't know if he takes, like, he doesn't take over. My problem is I'm not sure if he does what Sloan wants to do better.
I don't think he does specifically.
Feels like they want to play in the same vein.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think he specifically does what Sloan. I think Sloan's more specialized at taking out those jacks and stuff, but he'll be better at taking out jacks, infantry, stuff like that. Like, Sloan doesn't want to see a swarm of infantry come at him. Kane would have no problem with that.
Yeah. Yeah, Kane I can see that, like heavy armored infantry.
Kane is less happy about a wall of stealth.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's no true sight anymore on him or the other two.
Yeah. So, I mean, he can get it to a thing.
Yeah.
And he's already kind of focus.
He's focus strapped already. He does not want to cast Mage Sight unless he really fucking has to.
Right.
Yeah.
You can take attachments, right? It's a unit. So you can still take like a Squire or some nonsense.
You can take a Squire or Reinhold if you wanted to. I'm not sure Reinhold's the play with him.
Probably a Squire.
It's probably a Squire. Silas would... No, because that would get Calamity to range 12, but you don't need it because you have Witchmark. Correct. So, yeah.
You're only ever going to cast Calamity through Witchmark.
It's probably a Squire, I guess. I'm not sure. But I like him. I think he's interesting, for sure. And he definitely does something different. I'm just not sure if the armor debuff is different enough to make him better.
But if there's any we could say, even though he's not, you know, burning the barn down, he's still interesting and potentially viable,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. He's definitely a viable caster, especially in both Mercs and...
Especially in this meta, or even into the changing, this changing meta that might be coming. So we also got Brickhouse, the worst sculpted model in all of War Machine.
No. Avatar?
old. Yeah, Avatar's not.
He's the old Avatar.
He's holding a goddamn two-handed maul by the hilt, straight up in the air. Like, it's awful.
It's not. That's
the worst.
Oh, I've seen Thor.
Okay, it is not. It is not the worst model in all of War Machine.
Avatar
Wars.
Is pretty fucking bad.
Okay,
the old one.
The old one. There's plenty of really
his
really
spatula of justice.
There's really bad models. He may be the worst in Signar. I might be able to.
No, no. I mean, he's definitely the worst in Signar. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So Brickhouse, he is Maddox's character, Centurion. He is speed 4, strength 12, mat 8, rat 5, defense 11, arm 19, and he is immune to lightning. He has a range 1, pow 15, magno fist, and a range 2, pow 18, power maul. He is 18 points, and he has normal Centurion boxes, so he's off 6, so what's that, 30?
Mm-hmm.
His bond with Maddox, he gets retaliatory strike. He has Carapace innately. He gets plus 4 armor against free strikes and range attack damage rolls. And he has force hold. Enemy models beginning in advance within 2 inches of this model cannot advance except to change facing. This model loses force hold while its magnum fist is crippled. And his power maul has crit smite. So if he crits, they get slammed D6 inches away. He's good. I'm underwhelmed with him, but he will see play. He's not going to be all over the place. But Carapace in and of itself might be enough in a shooting meta to just get him on the table.
How many points is the Centurion?
17.
So he's so one point more.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Nope. No, it's not bad.
And it's nice because it's different. It does something a little different, whereas the Storm Centurion's going to sit there and go, you can't charge me, so you're going to have to walk up and punch me at armor 21.
What's the power of the spear on Centurion?
18.
All right, so that's
with crit sustained attack.
Well, all right, but mat 8 on Brickhouse?
Yeah.
Or 7?
Mat 8 on Brickhouse, 7 on a Centurion.
So you're usually hitting anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, okay.
Yeah, he's fine. He's not a ton of... I was worried he was going to end up being like 20 points or something, and 18 I think is very reasonable.
No, I think 18 for a Jack that you're not going to shoot, especially in a faction that can make him absolutely
unkillable.
If you need to.
Yeah.
You're not going to kill him with range attacks. I think it's something Signar's been lacking, actually.
I mean, because previously what you would have to do is take a Centurion and put Arcane Shield on it.
Yeah.
And then stick it with like a D-cell caster. And I think he lets you just put his dick in a zone into a shooting list. Or like you were talking about, Brad, I mean, the force hold in and of itself can really cause problems for certain models.
I'll give you a perfect example. You can shut down. So
you can shut down like sidesteps.
Gun
right?
carriages are really nasty. They're starting to appear in a lot of Cador lists. This thing walks within 2 inches of a gun carriage. That gun carriage is very, very sad.
Beginning in advance within 2 inches. Actually, beginning in advance within 2 inches cannot advance except to change phase. Does that stop sidesteps?
Yeah, because you're beginning and advance. Not your move, not your normal move. If someone runs up to him and hits him and thinks they're going to sidestep away, they're wrong.
Okay.
If they don't have reach and you don't close to their melee range.
Beginning in advance. So the advance would be the 2-inch move you take off your initial. Okay. So even if you walked up, you still couldn't do it.
So like something like a battle engine or something is just not... Even if he just runs and engages it, battle engine's just done. It's there. And it's a large base that's supposed to be doing a lot of work. And you're not going to stop at shooting, but you're not going to shoot Brickhouse off the
table. No, you're not
going
to shoot him
16s.
Off the table. No, you're just...
And I can't do my momentum crap to you because I can't move up to close a distance. This is actually... really nasty. Now, obviously, Colossals have 2-inch reach, but anything that doesn't have 2-inch reach, there's a ton of Kador heavies that if you were to run him and engage a bunch of different Kador heavies, they're in trouble.
Yeah, they got
problems. I got to find something else to go free up my
heavy. I like him situationally. I think he's really good. I don't think he's going to be everywhere, which is fine. I don't know that that's necessarily what you want.
You know what it just occurred to me? He's actually going to be kind of funny into... like the mirror match, like into a Haley or somebody who wants to move a Jack. Because if you walk two Jacks, if you walk a Jack next to him and they dominate and go to walk away, walk the Jack out of position or something, they can't. Because it's an enemy Jack starting its an advance within 2 inches of him.
Does that count as an activation, though?
It's not activate. It's beginning advance. They begin and they're taking
control. Doesn't use the word activate?
No, it's just beginning in advance. So they're beginning in advance. It wouldn't stop teleporting, but it would stop domination. It'll stop what's the other stupid one that makes you advance away?
Admonition.
There's another one. He runs up and engages someone with admonition or any of those, and they don't get to walk away. Watcher.
Yep.
There's a lot. This stops a lot of shenanigans.
We also got two theme forces. So the first one is heavy metal, an army made using the Steam Force can include only the following models: Signar Warcasters, non-character Warjacks, Thunderhead, Mechanic model units, Sword Knight model units, Archduke Alan Runewood, Solos with Battle Group Controller, so Juniors, Squire Solos, and Signar Battle Engines. The benefits: for every 25 points of Warjacks and Battle Engines, you can add a Command Attachment or Solo free of cost. Solos and Mechanic units gain Reposition 3, and your deployment is extended 2 inches forward.
That seems interesting. I don't know if Signar really wanted it at all.
It's interesting for, like, maybe somebody like Darius, or if you're going to run all Jacks, but, like, Sword Knights, like...
We're talking about running all Jacks, not running
Sword Knights. I'm not a super fan. I don't really like this one. I'm sure there's a caster, maybe even a Nemo 3, that might make this... I mean, 2-inch deployment is really nice.
Didn't you run an all Jacks Nemo list at some point?
Mm-hmm. Mark II, but yeah.
Because then all the solos and stuff in that, you had a ton of solos in that who would get repositioned.
Yeah, no, I mean, I could see Nemo 1 doing something cool because the juniors could still proc his power tokens. Maybe even like Haley you could do with Stormwall, and then Jake's running a Gallant and Junior running whatever. I don't know. It could be interesting. We'll see. I think Storm Division is way better. The other one is Sons of the Tempest. You can use Signar Warcasters, non-character Warjacks with ranged weapons, Arcane Tempest model units, Mechanic model units, and Journeyman Warcaster solos. For every full 20 points of Arcane Tempest models, you can add an Arcane Tempest command attachment or small-based Arcane Tempest solo free of cost. Arcane Tempest gun mages gain CRA, and friendly model units can begin the game affected by the upkeep spells of Warcaster in this army. And blah, blah, blah. You have to declare it before...
So... Yeah. This is another list that has the start with all your upkeeps. Now, mm-hmm. This is my Kador shaded glasses. I would do almost anything to have that. Not, I mean, you guys have like Focus 7 and 8 cast.
The problem is I'm limited to gun mages. Right? So in this meta...
Well, now they have CRA. That doesn't help them.
Oh, fuck. No.
I wasn't sure. No.
Is there any cast... Like, what do the casters want to see that the most? Kane 1, Haley 1, Striker 1?
Yeah. Yep.
Kane... No, it's only battle group. Hmm.
You might be able to...
And it's friendly upkeep, so you can't, like, Kane 3 Calamity
maybe,
for free.
Maybe Sloan plays it, but... Okay, so she gets to start with Refuge in play? Like, that's it. It doesn't really help her. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not... Yes, I don't know.
It's okay. It's fine. Again, I think there might be a caster. But I think Storm Division, after playing it and seeing it a shit ton at Captain Gone, I think Storm Division is by far our best one that's going to be everywhere.
Do the murder ponies get the CRA too?
No, it said arcane. It was gun mages specifically, I think.
Oh, that sucks. Yeah. That would be kind of. There's only five of them, but they have brutal.
Right.
So having a 5-man pod of them.
Yep.
On light up something.
All right. So I think that's it for Signar. I'm decently happy with those releases. I think they're pretty cool. But let's move on to Circle. Kaya 3. Kaya the Wildheart. She is speed 7, speed strength 6, mat 6, rat 4. Defense 15, armor 16. She has Pathfinder, and she is a cavalry model. She is Fury 6. She has a range 2 POW 12 magic weapon. Her mount is POW 12. She has 17 boxes, and she has 27 Warbeast points. She is a black-clad warlock, for if that matters. She has Field Marshal Reposition 3, and has Reposition 3 herself. Her spell list, she has Blood Speller, cost 2, range 10, POW 12. Warbeast in the Spellcaster's battle group can charge or make a slam power attack against target enemy model hit by Bloodspiller without being forced for one turn. She has Fog of War, so models gain concealment while in her control range. She has Soothing Song, costs 1, remove 1 fury point from each friendly living faction Warbeast currently in the Spellcaster's control range. Synergy, well, we know what that does.
Yes.
I'm not even going to go through that. And her feat, while in Kaya's control range, friendly faction models gain +2 defense and cannot be targeted by free strikes. Additionally, friendly faction models can advance through enemy models in Kaya's control range if they have enough movement to move completely past their bases.
Can I just say the +2 defense and free strikes, along with the reposition 3, this is going to make Circle have one hell of a circle jerk.
So, I take back what I'd originally... They spoiled what they spoiled about her. I was super worried that she was going to be fucking Una 2 level broken. It's not true.
No, she's not broken in any way.
She's really good, though.
I
think she's going to be fighting to make it into the Wyrmwood Tuna pairing.
I don't know. I'll tell you my first impression is that I think if you're going to be running a list that she would be playing, you'd much rather just have like a Kaya 2. So my reasoning for that is yes, she can move through if you're trying to jam things, and synergy makes things hit ridiculous, but short of if they take Black Ledge Villainissa, she herself does not add any threat extensions to anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very, very linear.
Yep.
And by her spell list, she really only benefits Warbeast. So there's no infantry support other than concealment.
Yeah.
Which, sure, is nice.
Now that will proc stealth onto the stones and stuff, right? Won't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll proc prowl. But like, so proc prowl only really benefits for Warbeast and no threat extension. I don't know. I think she's interesting, but I'm not worried about her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I definitely...
Like, in terms of being broken, I mean, I mean,
reposition like, doesn't innately add it, but getting 3 inches at the end, I mean, it doesn't add it for that particular turn, but...
What do you mean?
Well, the beasts get repositioned, so it doesn't innately add threat range onto...
Right, but I'm saying if you're not in a charge range, turn, you can reposition all you want.
Sure.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she'll be, I don't know about meh, but I think she'll be good. I don't think she's broken in any way. I think she's actually really well balanced. She gives circle, because they don't have a real good way of getting their beasts free charges, right?
I mean, Blackclads in faction and Lanissa.
Oh, right, because Blackclads have the...
Yeah, they have Hunter's Mark in faction. Mm. So, like, I don't know. For circle, I think she's middle of the pack, even maybe lower. Like, really? The casters that would want to play her, like, I think Kaya 2's better. I think Chromac 2's better. And then you, of course, have, like, Una, Balder, Wormwood.
I think that feat and synergy puts her right in there with all of them. I don't think she necessarily knocks them out, but I think you could make a pairing, drop one of the two, Wormwood, you know, one of those three, put her in, and I think you're okay.
But I think she just does it worse than...
Stalkers all go to defense 16, right?
Yeah. And sure. Stealth.
If they warp prowl, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But if you can kill Blackclads, they now always threaten 11.
Well, she's got her own thing for the... Oh, it doesn't increase range.
Right? Right. I'm saying they have a very, very linear threat range. Nope. There's not many tricks going on there.
Nope.
Yeah. It's either she's going to do what she wants, or she's not. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, the closest comparison, I think, we have to other warcasters in, like, terms of, like, how they benefit their armies is Testament. And we know Testament isn't, like, ruling the Menoth.
Not
like,
even a little.
Like, I know he doesn't give the defense bonus, but, like, feet, for offensive purposes, is almost the same. And only benefits infantry. She only benefits Warbeast for the most part. So, like...
Yeah. I'm not sure. I like I said, I still think synergy and the feat might fucking be enough.
Oh, but don't get me wrong. It'd be fucking gross if you can get it to go off and you get, like, pound 19 stalkers without any of the other... Like, pound 21 would... So, if you get plus 3 synergy and warp strength, and let's say you want to put the Gorax Anders on, and you have pound 23 stalkers on the swords. So, like, yeah, you can make it dual...
Yeah, who can move through people.
You mean do a lot of work. I just don't know how often you're going to get to do all of that work.
We will see. They also got Loki, Tanis Warp Wolf.
He is fucking cool.
Yeah, he is pretty cool.
I have to admit, his actual sculpt is fucking awesome.
So he is speed 6, strength 11, mat 6, rat 6, which is nice. Defense 14, arm 17. He has Pathfinder. He is fury 10. His threshold is 10. He has a thrown hook, which is range 8, pal 15, chain weapon. He has a shield. Range 1, pal 14, and gives plus 2 armor. And he has a range 1, pal 14 bite. And I'm not counting up his boxes, normal character heavy.
He's
boxes.
Fury 4, not Fury 10.
Did I say Fury 10?
He said Fury 10, my threshold bad. 10.
Fury 4, 10 seems good.
Threshold 10.
Yeah, he's already, 10, he's already okay. An armor 19 warp wolf.
My we
don't
bad.
Need to get him.
So he costs 19 points. His animus is elusive. Spellcaster gains dodge. It costs 1, and it's range self. His bond with Tanith is he gains prowl. So stealth if he gets concealment. And he can warp for the following. Hunter, he ignores concealment and cover when making ranged attacks. Preternatural reflexes. He cannot be targeted by CMAs or CRAs, and they do not gain backstrike bonuses against him. And he can warp for strength, so plus 2 strength. He has regeneration D3. He can be forced to remove D3 damage points once per activation. He has shield guard, and he has drag on his hook. And it's also a thrown weapon, so apply any modifiers to his strength to the power of his weapon.
Mm-hmm. The one that strikes me the most interesting is the no backstrikes, no CMA, CRAs. You don't think it's going to be relevant until it's relevant.
I will tell you right now, when we were talking about this at Captain Con when he first came out, and everybody's like, oh, that's like, you're never going to use that. And I'm looking at my Irish 2 list going, that's how I kill people is with CRAs.
Yeah, like, you don't think it'll be relevant until it's relevant. Any TK caster where their whole shtick is I'm going to turn you around. Like, backstrike's gone. Any CRAs you're doing at range now, you don't. So, like, your low pal units, for example, the gun mages, now don't do anything again. Like, if you brought them in the theme list, it's like, oh, they got CRA, I can shoot into a war beast.
Yeah.
Not this one.
Yep.
The only other thing I think is interesting is he can warp for hunter, which ignores cover, which is great. But if they're behind a wall or an obstruction, you're not dragging him anyway.
Nope. Yep. Yeah, that is an interesting one to have on his gun.
He pulls them out of trenches. Like, that's pulls them out of trenches and ignore woods, concealment.
Okay. Stuff like
yeah,
that.
It's still very good. It's just...
And what's he get up to? He gets up to about 18 with...
No, 16.
If you warp strength?
Yeah.
The hook goes to a 17 and his two initials go to 16. The two melee initials.
Yep.
Okay, so he goes to 17. And if you warp primal, strength. And if you primal him?
Then 19 on the hook, 18 on the initials.
So that's a pow 19 boostable gun. Ignoring cover might be enough. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It might getting a pow 19, moving him up six, and then plowing somebody with a pow 19 fully boosted shot into him behind the wall might be really nasty.
Yeah, that's sometimes all you need.
Oh, I guess it's only going to be a pow 16 because you're warping for hunter if you're going over the wall. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay, so pow 17.
Sure. Pow 17. I mean, yeah. So yeah. But still, that could matter.
Although, unless you brought what's his face, Cromac 2, you feet a little bonus strength in there.
There you go.
Yeah, there's some. You can get that gun up to a pretty ridiculous.
They also got two theme forces. First one is the Bones of Orboros. It's Circle Warlocks, non-character war beast with construct.
Sorry, real quick.
Yep.
Did you say he had shield guard?
He does have shield guard.
Okay, I just wanted to. I didn't remember you saying that. Okay.
Yep. Go ahead. It's fine. Non-character war beast with construct advantage. Stone units, Stone Ward and Woldstalker units, Black Clad solos, Gallows Grove solos, and Celestial Fulcrum Battle Engine. For every full 25 points of Warbeast, you can add a solo free of cost, and before leeching during each of your control phases, you can remove one damage point from each of your Warbeasts, and your deployment zone is extended 2 inches forward.
Isn't it full 25 points of Warbeast and Battle Engines?
Or Battle Engines, excuse me.
Yes. I was going to say, they don't think of the Battle Engine.
Yeah, they do.
Normally you get the Battle Engine.
They do.
So I think the extended deployment range is the bigger one for having a relatively slower army, the automatically healing one damage point. Again, probably doesn't matter until it matters when you're saving a fury off your warlock if you have a crippled system.
I think that matters a lot. You're doing it, you're saving the fury, you get a crippled system, somebody gets that lucky roll, and it's just, okay, now my spirit's not crippled anymore.
Yeah, that's huge. Like, it probably doesn't matter until it matters.
It also helps a lot of the order of activation issues, because a lot of times when a warlock's like, shit, I need to heal this
in order to do stuff,
go
right,
first.
Yeah.
So that it could be, like you said, when it comes up, it's going to be really big.
Yeah, no, it is. I'm not sure about that combination. Again, I don't play Circle. Seems okay. I mean, you're limited to what? War beasts.
Yeah, but it brings Braddock's back.
Yeah,
sure.
It gives Braddock some options.
That's tailor made to him.
I think it makes the Balders. I don't think it makes him better. It just gives him a different option.
Yep.
Which is, I think, fine.
Yep.
I noticed you can't get mannequins, right? It's interesting. Mannequins out of there.
Nope.
So. If anything, it helps Braddock the most.
Yep.
Yeah, I'd be happy to not see so many mannequins.
The other one is called the Wild Hunt.
This one I like.
Circle Warlocks, non-character war beasts, Wolf Sworn model units, Shifting Stones units, Gallows Grove solos, and Werewolf solos. So for every full 20 points of Wolf Sworn model units in the army, you can add one small or medium-based solo or Wolf Sworn command attachment free of cost. War beasts gain tracker. So they ignore forests when determining line of sight when declaring a charge. And one Wolf of Orboros unit gains ambush.
Yeah. This one's really good.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, tracker on your Warbeast is real gross.
Tracker sounds really good.
Tracker on your Warbeast and ambushing...
And ambushing Wolf...
Wolves of Orboros. Yeah.
Wolves of Orboros. Seems really good.
I don't think any Warlock's going to be able to run the list, but I think there's going to be a couple that can. I think it'll be really interesting when you find them.
This still stacks when we were talking before where he was saying about having the wolves get like three charges.
I forgot what model to shoot him, but I think it still works.
Yeah.
It was like Reeve models, right?
They were wolf sworn, weren't they wolf sworn?
Reeve models had to shoot him. Like Reeve shots laying, then they could charge in. So yeah, that still works when we had Paul on. I actually asked him how well he liked his Tanith list transitioning into the theme list, and he said he didn't like the Tanith list exactly, but he was going to explore different list options with it.
I mean, wolves, I mean, they're speed 6, and they have reposition with the UA, and he gives them power swell. Like, I guess that's a pretty good unit for ambush.
They have horrible defensive stats. They got to get in and do that work.
Yes, yeah, their defense is garbage. So yeah, I like those. I like those better than I like the Signar ones, to be quite honest.
I think the Wolfstorm one was interesting. And what was Circle's one they had now? Like, they have three total right now, right?
Yes.
What was the original one?
The Devourers, Host, Circle Warlocks, Living Non-Character War Beasts, Getterix, Tharn Model Units, Death Wolf, Shifting Stones, Gallows Groves, the Lord Tharn of the Feasts, the Tharn one. They get to, War Beasts get snacking, and for every 10 points of Tharn models, you can give a corpse token to a model with Heart Eater. Okay, so as we are going through the circle shit, Brad stopped me because the February dynamic update has just dropped, which is the new errata.
As so, we're sitting here.
Guaranteed, we will be the first ones to talk about this. So the first thing that I can see is that Thunderhead, Energy Pulse, the star attack does not need a target. Which I didn't think it did, but maybe that's cleanup. Unless they never changed. Did.
No, that's cleanup. I don't think it needed it.
Okay. Although, where are you reading? I think I'm on a different page.
I'm in the errata under the Signar section.
So this is where I'm at.
Okay. Yeah, I'm in the actual errata document.
Let me see if I can pull that up.
High Reclaimer, his feet, resurrection. The second sentence was replaced with. Place those models completely within 3 inches of their unit commander and completely within the High Reclaimer's control range. Models that were destroyed this turn cannot be returned as a result of resurrection.
Get fucked.
Woo! Oh,
wow. Wow. So no more waiting for your shit to die and then
no more
assassinating them from 19 inches away. I mean,
he can still drop the commander. He can drop the UA within 3 inches of the commander. And then drop them within 3 inches of that.
Yes.
But it still limits.
Not that
it
turn.
It still cuts. What do you mean not that turn? Not if they were destroyed this turn. Which, that's fine.
He could shoot. He could kill his own guys.
Yeah, he can't kill his own guys. He can't kill his own shit anymore.
I was reading ahead. I love the circle one.
All right.
I fucked it up. We're going to read through it. I'm sorry.
Hold on. We're going to go. Nothing in Kador. Nothing in Crix.
No, there's something in Crix.
Oh, there's something in Crix. Daryless.
Uh-huh.
Spell Slave. Remove the Spell Slave star action special for Daryless. Add the following magic ability specials to Daryless. Doom Spiral. Star attack. Doom Spiral is a range 8, POW 12 magic attack. When it damages a warjack that's part of a battle group, its controller takes D3 damage points.
So here's the thing, though. She always had that spell. Okay. And he could always cast it. So that's actually not that different.
Okay.
Nothing changed there.
He has really?
She always has that spell.
She has Empower.
That's different.
And Tune-Up.
Different. I have Tune-Up in Crix now.
Tune-Up in fucking Crix. Target-friendly faction Warjack. If the Warjack is in range, all attack and damage rolls resulting from its next basic attack are boosted.
I don't know that works best on yet. I think it's a Kraken Unicorn Cannon. Not sure.
It's real good.
But I'm interested.
Nothing in Rhett, nothing in Convergence, nothing in Mercs.
Get ready to start jerking off.
Oh, God, I see Una. Replace the last sentence of From On High with the following rules. Last for one turn. Get fucked, Tuna.
Oh, my God.
No longer immune to melee attacks during your turn after she feeds.
So she can get in there. She can fly right on your caster.
She's going to get to speed 9. She's going to ignore free strikes on the way in, and then feeds over.
Except... Scarsfell's lost long leash.
Did they really?
Yep.
I was hoping they didn't get hit.
See, that's actually... Yeah, because that was what made them different.
They
didn't need to hit it from both sides again.
From both sides.
See, that's the thing. So now the Scarsfells will never be taken.
Yeah, that's a bit of a shame. I actually didn't mind them having long leash.
No, I don't either. So I'm kind of bummed about the Scarsfell. I mean, I liked that initially just because I wanted to see this get... So I guess that picture where they showed Hungerford standing over a Tuna player, and they said Errata Inc.
Well, that was photoshopped.
Oh, it was.
You know that?
No.
So that photo of him came from when he was watching Chris Davies play Karchev.
Yes.
If you look at Hungerford, he's in the same exact pose and outfit and hairstyle.
Okay,
they just photoshopped him onto the other table of Una.
That's funny.
But needless to say, three days later, BAM!
I have to admit, I'm really disappointed that they nerfed it from both sides again. Because they did this to a couple of casters.
Do you think if they just take the feat and make it one turn, does that...
It still gives her an awesome assassination threat. It lets her ignore a bunch of armies, and she gets to put the griffins wherever she wants. I think it's fine.
Actually, the only thing when I was thinking what I would do to fix Una, and mind you, we're getting way off topic now.
That's fine.
Is I was thinking that the flank that she gave out should just be within her command area the same way with Sprint. Yeah. And I think she's completely fine if you do that.
Yeah.
Because then probably. She has to play farther up the table. There's more risk, but higher reward.
Yep.
This, I mean, it lets you play against her, so griffins just fall over and die in melee.
This just kills. This just, that list is dead.
Yeah, I think Una
Dead. Fades. I don't think you'll see Una again.
So, Kaya 3.
here comes the Baldur 2 meta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tuna's done.
Right? Baldur 2 Wormwood? Is that the new thing?
Baldur 2 with two World Wraths.
So, does that fuck High Reclaimer too? Is he... I mean, it doesn't... I don't know,
because he still brings
back... He plays fair.
He can't bring back his own guys that he kills.
Correct.
On the same turn.
So he doesn't get the stupid assassination.
On the same turn.
And he can kill him earlier in the... Didn't Krix used to have that trick? They'd kill a bunch of guys in the, like, turn one, and then they'd bring him back later.
Well, that was Gatsby 2's old trick. Yeah. Is like, his bile thrall would turn to the side, purge and blow up half his own army.
I'm just trying to think.
Sixes run to the middle of the table, feet, and kill you. Yeah. So, like...
The problem is, from the games I've seen, it's usually that turn when he has to look and go, here's how many guys I need. I got to kill you because that's the UA. I got to, because that gives me the farther threat. I got to kill that guy and that. Like, in my experience, I think that is a bigger deal than I'm...
No, don't get me wrong. It's a big deal. But it stopped... So one of the things they seem to be trying to do is stop the stuff that's a little wonky. That's wonky.
No, absolutely.
So
that's annoying to play.
What else is in the errata, though? Because I know we jumped around.
No, we actually didn't. I went in order.
Oh, sorry.
Ping Giver Taskmaster, the ping driver star action replaced with, if the model unit is in range, it gains +2 strength. I think that's just cleanup. Temper Flesh, replace it with the star action.
Real quick, what's Temper Flesh on? Help me out.
The Pain Giver Taskmaster.
Oh, the same model? Sorry.
Yep, same model. Range 3, target-friendly non-Warlock Minion Warrior model unit. If the model unit's in range, it gains tough. Models are not affected by out of formation. Lasts for one round. I think that's, again, just cleanup. And then nothing until we get to Theme Force Errata. So I'm going to read the Signar one, but I still can't remember. And I'm going to look at War Room because I don't know what the difference is. So Storm Division, replace the first sentence of the second special rule with the following. For every full 20 points of Storm Knight and Storm Smith model units in this army, you can add 3 Storm Smith Storm Caller solos, or 1 Storm Knight Command Attachment, Storm Smith Weapon Crew, or other small base solo to the army free of cost. I don't know what's different about that. I have to look at that in a second.
What Theme Force was the one that was around?
Storm Division.
The one that was out for a while?
The first one, yeah.
I think it might have been cleanup. Was your solo
thing? I'm gonna look real quick, and then I'm going to go back into it, because I have Storm Division armies already in here. So
I'm updating my War Room as we're sitting here.
For every full 20 points of Storm Knight and Storm Smith model units, you can add 1 Storm Knight Command Attachment, Storm Smith Weapon Crew, or small base soldier to the army free of cost. Oh, so you couldn't do Storm Callers.
Yeah.
So okay.
So they fixed the Storm Callers so they would fit
fine.
In.
Whatever.
Okay.
No big deal. Yeah, it's okay. Who cares? The Kador Theme Force, Winter Guard Command, where Warcasters of this army game Sack Pawn Winter Guard Trooper model.
Yep. Oh, Trooper model.
Yes.
No, that does screw up. So
why does that change?
I was worried about the battle engine. I can't sack pawn to Joe to get a bigger bubble now.
Okay.
Because he's okay.
So
because you go sack pawn to Joe and he does the...
He has sack pawn. So it would let me have Joe 3 inches away and then a bunch of guys.
Hold on. And for each Winter Guard unit in this army, 1 heavy warjack can gain advanced move.
So much better.
Yes.
I know you're not going to like it, but it's thematic and it makes it so it's not just...
How is it worded?
Exactly as I read it. For each Winter Guard unit in this army.
Unit. One so heavy my mortar crew will still count. It's still a Winter Guard unit.
Yep. That's a unit. That's
okay.
A unit.
Then my 3 jack. My list is fine. I can't sack pump to the battle engine, which to be honest with, is cool, but I normally sack pump to troopers anyway.
Right. But,
and I can't have a 6-inch bubble
but,
instead of a
3-inch. But let's talk about the problems that it got rid of was a Karchev list taking no
Winter Guard. I think it was Karchev.
That had 10 marauders that advanced move.
It was Harkovich.
It was Butcher. It was Harkovich. It was Kart. I'm sure there were some people.
Yeah, that was Karchev. It was Karchev too.
It was. I saw somebody post a Strakoff list that used it. I mean, yes, you have to have Winter Guard in the list to have the Winter Guard Theme Force. I'm fine with this. I mean, sure, would I rather not have that restrictions? Yeah, but I'm fine with that. I will say the only thing that I'm not 100% sure about is so I can't sack pawn to the mortar itself anymore. Can't sack pawn to the.
Why not?
It's not a trooper.
The
it's
mortar
a
isn't a trooper.
It's a leader model.
Right.
The trooper. Oh, no. Trooper is still front and leader.
Yeah, you can sack pawn to the mortar. I don't know. Okay. I'd want to over a Winter Guard model, but you could.
It's sometimes it comes up where
sure.
The mortar's dealing
if you're out of models, yeah, you certainly can.
All right. So, no. Okay. Trooper's still going to intrude. I was afraid it was going to be. I thought it was grunts. I was replacing the word with grunts. Okay. No, we're good.
The Retribution Theme Force, replace Shaiel model units with Shaiel solos, units, and battle engines. They could already take the battle engine, though, I believe.
I don't know, and I don't think it's gonna be that big of a deal.
Yeah, I don't either. And then the Cephalix theme force.
Sure.
This army can include one non-character mercenary warjack beginning the game controlled by Captain Sam McCorn. I think because he's a Jack Marshall.
Yes, and they couldn't before this when they couldn't take a technically couldn't take a Jack with him.
Really?
Because it wasn't a Cephalix model.
So get fucked.
Oh yeah.
High Reclaimer and Tuna.
Well, I think Tuna got hit maybe a little.
Well, we said the same thing about
Cartwright. Too hard.
Yeah.
But High Reclaimer, I feel like, is still probably in a fine spot.
I did too.
He just plays fair now.
But
and his guys can still attack. He still has the best recursion in the game.
Yes.
Yep.
He can still.
I think
his guys.
Gorsha 2 gives him a running now, because he gets guaranteed more guys if you need him.
Okay. Fair. Fair, fair.
I think Gorsha 2 gives him a running. Higher Claimer would still be better because they get to do stuff that turn. But okay.
Yeah, I'll be honest. That 19-inch, I can do nothing. I guess they're trying to get rid of the I can do nothing stuff. I think they hit Tuna.
There's no
too hard.
Question that Tuna was bad play experience, right? They've said that that's a big thing for them. There's no way to say that that's not. She's across the table, perfectly safe. Her shit is all in your back line and your warcaster's face, killing you. And there was probably, in a lot of lists, there was nothing you could do about it from the beginning of the game. It's dumb. That had to get fixed. It probably went too far, but there must have been some playtest that went on that was like, if we don't take the long leash out, this bad play experience still exists. I don't know. I think it probably is too hard, because I like her.
So we have to do two things. I just want to make one more comment. And I don't think we talked about the new stuff enough yet, or the rat enough yet. But we haven't talked about the stuff that came out of Captain Con yet. We got about halfway through and then got all excited for the new errata. But two, speaking of the errata, I really like the timing of the errata.
I do too.
You know, they even though Privateer Press wasn't at these events.
They were at LVO.
Were they at LVO?
I think so.
Yes, they were at LVO.
Because that's where they dropped this for. That's what this got dropped from.
Okay, yeah. Sure. But there's never a great time.
No.
Because there's always some convention or some tournament or something, you know, about a month away. You know, no matter where you're going. But at least they waited. You know, I think it's the best they could.
They didn't drop it the day before WTC or the day before a huge con. It was 2 days after two cons. There's not another one for a SmogCon is this week.
I know it's soon. And I'm sure it's going to mess up some guys that are planning on playing Una. But like, you can't never drop it.
There's no.
So I think this is probably the best time we could have asked for.
I like the fact that it is exactly what I was. I mean, besides what's in it. I mean, just in what general terms, this is exactly what I wanted from them for their
mm-hmm.
almost video game style,
yep.
small change.
I like the willingness to patch on the fly and go, we've identified a problem. We now are comfortable with the changes. We had to test them. We weren't ready to drop them when we did an errata a month ago. Here they are. We don't care what time it is. I like that they didn't do it during... Like we said, you know, the day before a con started.
We're like on Saturday, halfway through the con.
It's a Wednesday.
What a mess that would make.
But I like that they're willing to just go, here's five things we don't like that need to be addressed, mm-hmm. and here they are.
Yeah.
And
right?
It's small. It's
other
not
than
crazy amount.
The Scarsfell, I think I agree with almost every change.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, I think the Unit feet change is probably an intelligent one. Yeah. I think that's probably fine.
And like Grant was saying, there's a good chance that while we're sitting here going, I wish they hadn't hit him from both sides, there's a good chance that we're missing something that made that necessary.
Here was my question. If you just took Long Leash off and left her feet alone, is that okay?
Still a bad experience.
No, because I don't think, in my eyes, I didn't think we needed to touch the Scarsfell because they weren't ruling the table with any other warlock.
Right.
I think it's that Una made them do too much all the time. So that's why my idea was to change how flank worked for them. You know, you can still get flank, but you have to get within 10 of Una. So the game is almost the exact same. She's still going to be able to feet and run and surround you. And then you can't have melee attacks in return. But they're not flanking.
I think there's something that we're missing. I mean... With the losing the long leash, there must be.
Well, I mean, so they still keep flank at 14 inches, assuming that you stay in Una's control range. So there's that.
Sure.
Like, they're still going to hit like a brick shit house if you let them. You can just play against them.
Maybe that was the thing, was that even without her feet, no longer letting you be invulnerable, with the long leash still up, you'd still be able to take anything at however
far. Yeah, if you get too close and she hasn't feeded yet, or not even she hasn't feeded yet, it's just flank all the time, what am I talking about? If you get too close, those birds will still...
They will kill the shit out of you.
Oh, yes. My God.
To be fair, though, competitively, I think that list is still dead.
I don't know how.
I think hitting it from both of those sides, I think, really takes it off. I mean, you're now, yes, you can fly through other stuff, not take any free strikes, not be able to be attacked by melee, and then be somewhere. But you don't have long leash anymore.
They still have stealth.
And now they're in combat.
But like,
well, that's the user a different way. Instead of getting this ridiculously far-ranging alpha strike that gets into anything, you get until you're uncomfortably close, feet to go through their front line and hit the soft, juicy center.
Is she... Here's the thing, and I think this is a really good spot to be in. I think it's a really... I think I'm really happy with where she's landed. Is she now the worst caster in Circle? No, not by a long margin. No,
not even close.
Right? She's somewhere in the middle, which is probably the best thing we could ask for. I don't know. I don't think we should have hit Skarsgårds, or... Yeah, I don't think we should have hit Skarsgårds. But short of that, I don't think I disagree with any one of these changes.
I don't think I
did. And they finally fixed Daedalus. Because the problem is he couldn't cast Overrun, which is like his only fucking job.
So, one side note here to our three listeners. When you see the popular, super popular list, and it's like 12 of these, or 19 Galvanizers, or this, or that, mm-hmm. you might want to think about proxying it.
Don't buy spam.
Yeah, if you listen
to the huge spam list.
If you listen to Chris Davies, his advice was, to any time a spam list seems too good, it's a great list to borrow.
Yeah, and I've said that I won't buy into a spam list because, A, it hasn't really hit Signar. You had the Hunter thing for about a week mm-hmm. at the beginning, but I knew that wasn't going to get...
And she's still good with four Hunters.
Yeah, four Hunters is fine. I don't know that that's close to spam, but...
So I think we have to calm ourselves down, but what was next up on the stuff that came out this past weekend?
I already have it. Yeah, so let's get back on track. We covered the errata, and I think we all are in agreement. Those are good changes. Skarsgårds maybe got hit too hard, but we know that this is PP's MO, at least when their gut reaction to fixing a
and
problem.
And to be fair, they can come back a little bit.
Do you know Kane to us by shot types?
No way. Get out of here, Brad. He does? Is he still good?
Well, I don't know.
I didn't see him this weekend. Maybe that's why.
I think I saw one person play.
No, he
didn't.
All right. Kallus 2. He is a speed 7, strength 8, mat 7, rat 4, defense 13, armor 18, warlock. He is fury 6. He is cavalry. He is pathfinder. He is soulless. He has a range 2, pal 15 magic weapon, and his mount is pal 14. He has 20 boxes and 28 warbeast points. He has Field Marshal Hand of the Dragon. The melee weapons of Warbeast in the model's battle group gain continuous effect fire. He has Hyper Regeneration, so remove D3 damage points from him at the start of each activation. And he has Reposition 3. His weapon has Flame Burst, so when he boxes an enemy model with the weapon, enemy models within 1 inch of the box model suffer fire's continuous effect. And his mount has Crit Knockdown. He has Battle Lust, cost 3, range 6, target-friendly faction warrior model unit gains additional die on melee damage rolls. He has Blazing Path, cost 2, range self, control, upkeep. While in the spellcaster's control range, friendly faction models gain immunity fire. An enemy model that ends its activation within 2 inches of a friendly faction model in the spellcaster's control range suffers the fire continuous effect. He has Brand of Fire, which is a cost 3, range 10, pal 14 nuke. It causes fire damage. On a hit, the target model and the D3 nearest enemy models within 5 inches of it suffer the fire continuous effect. He has Overrun. Cost 2, range 6. When target model in the spellcaster's battle group destroys one or more enemy models with an attack, immediately after the attack is resolved, one model in the spellcaster's battle group that is in its control range can make a full advance, then it expires, and a model can only advance once for Overrun. His feat. Enemy models currently in Kallus' control range, suffering the fire continuous effect, immediately take an unboostable POW 12 fire damage roll. While in Kallus' control range, friendly faction models can charge or make or power attack slam an enemy model, suffering fire continuous effect without being forced, and gain 3 inches of movement when charging or slam power attacking an enemy model, suffering the fire's continuous effect.
So, I just put down Kador. I'm going to like, do a little palate cleanse, and I picked up, because I basically have a lot of Legion stuff. And then this guy comes out and I went, hey, look, Strakoff! Because it's basically that. It's over. You can overrun. You can mess around with the immunity fires into certain matchups. The fact that you have to light something on fire to get the plus 3 inches of movement is not that bad when you consider that he has the spell to light that one target that you need to kill.
Yep.
It's not quite as overranging as like Strakov, especially not in Mark III, where you just pop, you know, get within control and pop feet. But he does have access to spell martyrs to be able to proc that farther out without threatening himself too much.
I don't know. I think he threatens farther, safer than Strakov.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's
like,
what I'm
saying. 100%.
Yes. And overrun on angels seems really fucking scary.
Yeah. Or you can go the cheaper route, overrun on Nerifs. Like.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think.
Oh, does he have a damage buff for the Nerifs? No. So the Nerifs is going to hit a little pillow fisty, but yeah, you'll get it where you don't want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
I think what he wants is Chris's buddy, Azrael.
Oh. Oh, God, yeah.
Is who I think he wants to take.
Oh, that sounds like something new.
That sounds like a good segue. Like something you do on a podcast or something.
We're almost... Well, now since we talked about it, no longer is it fluid.
Mm.
Yeah.
Shit. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Way to ruin it.
That sounds like something new.
Okay, good, scrub. That's what I say to myself. All right, Azrael. He is speed 6, strength 12, mat 7, rat 6, defense 12, armor 18. He has flight, eyeless sight, and is immune to fire. He is fury 4 and threshold 9, because that's how those words go in order.
That is how those words and numbers go.
He has a thrown spear, which is range 10, base pal 17 with continuous fire, and his spear in melee is range 2, pal 17. He's 21 points and has some amount of boxes that I'm not going to count, but they look like a good amount.
It looks healthy.
It looks like an appropriate amount for a character beast.
Oh my god.
I'm going to guess somewhere between 28 and 32. His animus is Vortex of Fire, costs 1 range self. The spellcaster gains immunity fire. Additionally, the fire continuous effects that affect enemy models in the spellcaster's command range cannot expire. Which sounds like Callus 2's favorite thing in the world.
Yeah. The only catch is his command's only an 8.
His command, it is. It Callus is. But is he's Cav, so like he can get there. He's got 20 boxes and he's arm 18.
Bag 1. Command 10.
Bag 1 will have a lot of fun.
Plus you Draconic Blessing, pal 19 spears.
Yep.
If you were to take him with Krissa, his bond with her is he gains Ashen Veil, so concealment and living enemy models without immunity fire suffer -2 to attack rolls while within 2 inches. He has It Burns, so if he is hit by melee attack immediately after the attack is resolved, the attacking model suffers fire continuous effect unless he was destroyed or removed from play by the attack. He has Serpentine. He cannot make slam or trample power attacks and cannot be knocked down. He has Crit Smite on his spear. Reload 1, and it's thrown, so apply any modifiers to his strength to the pow of the weapon.
So in New School Legion, it's going to be a pow 19 most of the time you see it. Or a pow 20, possibly.
You might even see him in, like, just different control lists.
Yeah.
Like, I could see you putting it in, like, a Veil 2. You don't get the bonus on strength, but, like...
Yeah.
Just good.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, he is just good. He is just good. He can do work. He can get there. He's got a good rat. Rat 6 is really good.
Rat 8 if you flare something with a Seraph.
Yeah, yep. And I mean, that's...
I mean, he's expensive. He's 21, but...
I actually think that's, like, the perfect... He's not too expensive for what he brings.
No, I mean, especially
like, but you got to be sure you want him.
Yeah, you got to be sure. Yeah. You're not going to be just taking him willy-nilly.
Yeah, you're not just putting him in a list because you're like, he's cool.
If you don't get the points out of him.
Yes.
Yeah, he's going to really
huge
you.
Waste.
Yeah.
Yes.
Huge waste.
But considering he has a significant ranged threat, it should be easy to get the points out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, and even somebody like Fianna, he can get to plus 3.
Well, that's what
I'm saying. And but then I was saying, and then the feet, he gets to, you know, can get to defense 15, 17 if it's in Ashen Veil.
Mm-hmm.
No
slouch in melee either.
No.
Nope.
Nope. Pal 17 base is just fine with Fury 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and most of the Nephilims went to Mat 7, so I mean, that's pretty nice.
Yep, I like him a lot. Legion did not get any new theme lists, however.
Because their theme book didn't come out, right? The Forces of?
Well, our Forces of didn't come out either, but I guess because we're next. I'm guessing theirs will be out within the next couple weeks.
Yeah.
So that's what we got. So a lot of new stuff today.
Did we miss something? I forgot what we got excited about the errata. It was the Signar theme forces, mm-hmm. Brickhouse...
Circles, caster,
and we had, so yeah, we got everything.
Yeah, I think we got everything that came out.
So, in combination between the now 10-minute-old errata,
yes,
and the new releases, and just really where the game was before the releases and the errata, I think War Machine's in a really good spot and posturing itself to not go anywhere for a long time.
I would agree, and I think we're in line to see some shifting things with Tuna potentially going away.
Oh, yeah.
Not that High Reclaimer's gonna, but with some changes to make him play fair. The Karchev thing that changed, the theme list that potentially changed a little. I think you could see some shifts here.
I mean, the one thing I got to say, and I don't think this is true for other factions as well, but like specifically for Krix, they did not have, as like a faction, true answers for Una. There were things you could do that would be like, these are okay. Like, but like there was no like, oh, this is like, well, that's somewhat how, advantaged.
That's how I felt in Kador. I mean, I had things at work. I had a battle engine. I had sprays, but It wasn't, you know, it wasn't going in with a bunch of Winter Guard sprays that need what, eights to hit. It's not a great look.
Yeah, like I don't know. I already enjoyed this game, and they're giving me every more reason to.
Yeah, I love the patch style.
I mean, erratic. Signar. Unfortunately, I can't. We had probably one of the most answers to Tuna of any faction, so I can't really.
Plus. With playing Krix, things can only go up. Nothing's getting nerfed for me. Yeah.
For you, woo! Everything, you are looking up for everything. Every nerf is just a little fucking Ninja Krix buff.
I'm just like, ah, oh, it's great. I hope there's an errata every week.
Yep. Tuna get fucked? All right, I got a chance.
Plus, I actually feel like playing more Neighbor now. The first caster I ever owned, so.
Oh, because Daria, the Daria's.
It makes it, you know, interesting. I don't know if she's, you know, absolutely amazing, but it's interesting.
I really want to find a spot for Kallus too now, because of Overrun and like the speed that they have.
Ah, updated War Room.
Yeah.
Now the feet reads correct.
Yep. It's so sexy this way. Although,
so the feet updated. Just one thing. Oh, is that why? When did the first Una? Was it V1 2016?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, because now it's V1 2017.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, I was hoping to say V2. I didn't know if that was a mistake or something.
Nope.
Okay. Let's go read Darylus. This doesn't matter for the podcast. I'm just so excited.
All right. Well, if you're going to do that, we might as well sign off. We've gone for an hour and a half anyway with some unexpected stuff, but that was exciting. And yeah, I'm with you, Brad. I'm really excited where the game is at. And I actually didn't come home from this con thinking being War Machined out and ready to like take a week break. I was ready to just get fucking back on the grind and start playing.
This was definitely one of the first cons. Normally I come home from a con and it's like, I'm good for
A couple days. At least. Yeah.
This is the first one I came back and immediately got a game in.
Yep. Very happy with, very happy where the game is. And this stuff from today will even further that. So we'll be back next week with, I don't know, some dumb bullshit.
We're probably going to talk about the errata some more.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to start playing more Neighbor again.
I'm going to continue dabbling into Legion again.
I'm building a list right now.
And I'm going to start trying to get you fucks to come up with things to talk about.
Sure.
Whatever.
I'm Grant.
I'm Ryan.
I'm third.
We did it right twice in a row. Good job, guys.